Welcome to the SMA edition of Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the spinal muscular atrophy community.
Hello, and welcome to the Rare Care Podcast. This is your host, Larry Luxner, Senior Correspondent for Rare Disease Advisor. Our guest today is Nikki McIntosh, who's speaking to us from Orange County, California. Nikki, an author, speaker, and rare disease advocate, is also a podcaster with her own program, Rare Mamas. A former advertising and marketing executive, she began her rare disease journey with the birth of her son, Miles, in 2012. At 18 months of age, Miles was diagnosed with type 2 spinal muscular atrophy, known as SMA. 5 years ago, Nikki established her own organization, Rare Mamas, and thank you so much for being on our program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell us your story, please.
Yeah, our story began just as most families does, unaware that we were genetic carriers of a rare disease. And so we started our family after 5 years of being married. Our son, Mason, our first son, was born. And a couple years later, our second son, Miles, was born. At about, I would say, 9 months or so, we noticed that Miles was unable to bear weight on his legs to pull to stand. And typical milestones at that age were being missed. And so we started down the path of trying to get answers. We were told that nothing was wrong. It would just take a little time. But we had that feeling in our guts that told us something was wrong. 6 months of testing led to the genetic disease diagnosis of spinal muscular atrophy. Miles was 18 months old at the time. Our world fell apart. We pulled ourselves back together, got busy learning all we could about the disease, starting advocating, trying to fundraise for research for SMA. And quickly became aware that there were glaring gaps in the rare disease space. We tried to get our son everything we could. We got him involved in a clinical trial that was showing some promise. And that trial went on to become the first FDA-approved treatment for spinal muscular atrophy called Spinraza. And so that diagnosis that we at the beginning were told, no treatment, no cure, number one cause of genetic death, unfolded much differently than we thought it would. And it's been a life-saving treatment. Miles is now 13 years old and doing quite well.
That's wonderful. SMA is one of those diseases for which there are not only one, not two, but three FDA-approved treatments. Many diseases out there have none. So in some sense, you are somewhat lucky, right? How does this compare, let's say, to Duchenne muscular dystrophy, which just got its own gene therapy for the first time ever?
Very exciting. Different diseases, but very similar symptoms. And at one point, very similar prognosis. And so we're just so thrilled for our community. Now that we've seen, our eyes have been open to what treatments can do for our children, for these patients. We want all patients to have these opportunities that our community does.
So can you talk a bit about how the SMA has affected your son, Miles?
You know, he is a pretty resilient kid, as most of these kids are. He doesn't see himself as any different than anyone else. He's in a school where he's the only child in a wheelchair, but he is aware of his disease. And as he gets older, he's learning more about his disease. He is now inquiring about future treatments, but he's navigating a life as a teenager now where he has less independence than his peers.
Right.
So we're in a really critical stage here where that independence that he so desperately wants will be hard to give in the same ways that his peers have. So we have a lot of navigation ahead of us.
The fact that he's on Spinraza, does that preclude him from qualifying for gene therapy, Zolgensma?
We don't know. We won't know how that will unfold until we have that approval for, you know, a gene therapy for children his age, for patients his age. And then that will be one of the pieces that we'll have to navigate at that time.
What about the oral therapy, risdiplam?
He could switch treatments. Patients really have the choice as to which treatment is best suited for them. Miles has always been on Spinraza since the clinical trial, and it's been really effective for him. So we've continued on that path for him.
I see. If we could talk about the organization you started and how it differs from, let's say, established nonprofits out there, for example, Cure SMA, which is the largest.
Yes. Well, Cure SMA is an amazing resource, and they've been a lifeline for our family and for our whole entire community. My organization is dedicated to mothers of children with rare disease, and it's really that peer-to-peer support. You know, mothers are navigating really difficult medical information on a daily basis, research information, and all of that is so necessary. And that's how we understand our children's disease and how, know how to take the next steps. But I think for me, what was missing was that emotional support piece of, you know, 50% of rare diseases don't have a patient advocacy group such as Cure SMA. We're one of the fortunate ones. So without that, these mothers are really navigating these rare diseases really all on their own. And so this, my hope with Rare Mamas, the organization, is to provide that peer-to-peer support that shows them how to take the next step, what the path is. It's emotional support. It's hearing from another mother who's been through it, kind of the tools and tricks that help on a daily basis. And we all need that. Some of the best sources of information come from other rare parents that are walking this road.
So it doesn't really matter what the specific rare disease is. This kind of emotional support is across the board regardless.
It is, because what we find is even though our children's diagnoses may be different, we're all navigating similar obstacles and we're facing similar challenges. So the information can be transferred.
Right. How long did it take for Miles to get diagnosed?
It took him 6 months. So that's fairly quick in, you know, the rare disease diagnostic odyssey that so many face.
It is. Some of them can take 6 years.
6 years, exactly.
So,
and for us, that 6 months felt like 6 years.
Yes.
But it was relatively short in the bigger picture.
One of the issues I wanted to discuss with you was that of newborn screening. SMA is one of those diseases that has now achieved through advocacy and I suppose a lot of hard work, newborn testing in all 50 states.
A big milestone that we reached. And it's been pivotal. I mean, it's been a pivotal point in the SMA community. When my son was diagnosed, that did not exist. It took us 6 months. It's taken other patients a much longer time. And now these children are getting diagnosed within days, you know, right at newborn screening, I should say, and they're able to get treatment within the first 30 days of birth. That makes all the difference. Time is critical.
Mm-hmm. So like you said, that's a milestone.
It was a huge milestone. It was started kind of as a grassroots effort, you know, led by Cure SMA, and state by state, it was achieved from these families, advocates, Cure SMA, everybody coming together and state by state advocating until we had all 50 states. And the numbers are staggering. The difference is staggering. All the patients are able to get access to treatment right away.
Through newborn screening, do you have any idea how many babies have actually been detected with SMA and have been able to be treated?
I don't know the number off the top of my head what the number is, but it's a huge percent of patients with it. Most all are the number is quite staggering in comparison to the number of children diagnosed.
Mm-hmm. So you said that your son Miles is the only one in his school in a wheelchair?
Yes.
But I imagine he may have other friends who have SMA as well?
He does. He's met other children with SMA through the community of SMA patients. And he's met other children who have different diagnoses that are in wheelchairs. He's now playing wheelchair tennis. Oh. And so he's met other children, and it's great for him to have those peers.
So you basically gave up a career in advertising and marketing to dedicate yourself full time to him, right?
I did. At the time, it felt like that's exactly what this disease necessitated. Between therapies and medical appointments, it was really hard to hold on to a career and really chase after everything that Miles needed.
Wow. So I would like to ask you to talk about your book. You said it's going to be published on September 23rd.
Yes. Yes, it's called Rare Mamas, Empowering Strategies for Navigating Your Child's Rare Disease. And it's really a guidebook. So there's a lot of practical information, like how to navigate the complex medical systems and educational systems. And then there's emotional support, how to walk this road on a daily basis. So it's tools, it's tips, it's learnings from my over decade long experience, as well as the experience of other mothers have kind of culminated everything I wish I would have known when Miles was newly diagnosed. And I hope that it's a manual that really can empower these moms to feel capable to navigate their child's rare disease and to rise to the challenge. It's that peer-to-peer support that I think is so critical for moms like us.
So if there are two or three points that you mentioned, things that you wish you had known at the time, what would they be?
That where you start is not where you'll stay. So though a rare disease diagnosis may fill you with fear and make you want to forego hope, that's not where you're going to stay. You'll find your footing, you'll become capable, and you will find there's a lot of beauty in this journey as well that you might not see at the beginning, but that's what you'll end up seeing over time.
Anything else that you've learned the hard way?
I learned everything the hard way, and that's why I want this book to, I put it all in the book so that other parents won't have to learn it the hard way. At least they'll know and be prepared for it.
Amazing. Is the organization, your organization, working together with CuraSeme and any other larger national organizations get out the message?
Yeah, so we're just starting to get out the message. I have some opportunities with National Organization for Rare Diseases, National Organization for Rare Diseases, NORD, and I'll be attending their conference in November. That's in Milwaukee.
Wonderful. You know, at the MDA conference in Dallas earlier this year, Christopher Lewis, the son of Jerry Lewis, was promoting his book about growing up in the shadow of Jerry Lewis. We did a very nice story about that for Rare Disease Advisor.
I'll have to read that. I'll have to read his book and read your story.
Thanks for letting me know. Any final thoughts before we wrap up? We're just about out of time.
I would just say that I hope that this book can be a really source of support to any mothers navigating a rare disease journey and help them keep going.
Wonderful. We've been talking with Nikki McIntosh from Orange County, California, who is the founder of Rare Mamas, and she's the mother of Miles, who has spinal muscular atrophy. Thank you so much for your time. This is Larry Luxner with Rare Disease Advisor.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.